from January to July, and we finished it and added on the study of Jude. Now, we did this study in our Sunday morning ministry as well as in our Wednesday prayer meeting and also in the gospel meeting. Right. So we have been saturated with this study of hope. What have we learned about this hope? I myself had taken this opportunity to give you the essence of this hope, the Christian hope in 1 Peter, when I talked to you 4 months ago, the Christian hope, as we read in 1 Peter. The word hope occurs 4 times. And as we read in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to the abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. This hope that we have, we must know what it is. Otherwise, after the series of studies for 7 months, we come away with still a vague idea of hope, then it is very, very sad. What is this hope? Now, first of all, it's a living hope. It is a hope that is not buried in the past, dead in the past. It is a hope that is with us while we are alive on this earth. Do you have this hope? This is the challenge for this morning. So it's a living hope. It is promised to those who are born again. Chapter 2, verse 2. That as newborn babes born to desire the sincere milk of the word. And it is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do we believe in the death of Jesus Christ? Do we believe in the burial of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he rose again from the dead? Do you believe that he will come again? This is the very essence of the Christian hope. And we must make sure we really believe in this in order to be able to have this hope living in our lives. So, based on the death of Christ, burial of Christ, resurrection of Christ. Therefore, chapter 1, verse 3, second occurrence of the word hope. Therefore, gird up the loins of your soul, of your mind. Be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you. This hope is not living to be alive in our lives, but it is a lasting hope because it is a hope that is based upon God. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you. And at the revelation of Jesus Christ, this is a looming hope. We believe in the death of Christ, burial of Christ, resurrection of Christ, and that he's coming again. This is the very essence of the hope we have been talking about in 1 Peter and today in 2 Peter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed coming again. This coming is to take us back to himself as well as to rescue his covenanted people, the Jews, from persecution in the great tribulation. More about that as we go on. Right. Hope sets us towards sanctification. If we have this hope, and if it's alive in Christ, then it must have an effect in our lives. It must change our lives. We cannot be what we are if we truly believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. If we truly believe that Jesus Christ died for us, was buried for us, rose again for us, and is coming again, if we truly believe in that and it is not living in us, then something is wrong. Because our hope is not a dead hope. It is a living hope who raised him from the dead and God gave him glory that your faith and hope are in God. This that is a lasting hope, an eternal hope. Because this hope rests in God and what God says, it is eternal. God cannot change. God is eternal, and therefore this hope is eternal. Who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. And because this hope rests in God, it has an effect on our lives. God is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. This is the challenge. Why we have this hope in us? Why it is a living? It is dead if this hope does not affect our lives. It is a living when it changes our lives and it helps us to live according to this precious hope that we are talking about. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer, a defense to everyone. This hope is reasonable. It is real. It is true. It is not mythical. It is not theological. It is not theoretical. It is true. We have reasons to give for this hope that we have. And today, if you are challenged, after having studied this hope for 7 months, to give reasons for this hope, will you be able to do so? This study is to enable you to do so, to help you give an answer to every man who asks you the reasons for this hope. And we have to answer this hope not with pride, but with meekness and fear. Therefore, it is a logical hope. It is a living hope. It is a lasting hope. It is a looming hope. It is a logical hope. Thus, to help you remember, what is this hope that we have been studying about? This hope based upon the death, burial, resurrection, and return of the Lord Jesus Christ is living. It must be true to our lives. Is lasting, is rest upon what God says, and it is looming, coming soon. From the conditions of what are going on in the world, we know Christ is coming soon. And it is, we have reasons to believe that what we say is true and can be proved. So, I today would like to look at this hope in greater detail. What I said just now was what this hope was, what this hope is, what it is all about. Today, having known what this is all about, how does it relate to me? Why should I know about this hope? And if I know about this hope, so what? So my life may change. If my life does not change, it is not a living hope. So this is the challenge to all of us. We now look at this hope through Peter's letters. Now, Peter has written about this hope, and I told you in 1 Peter, we have the objective nature of our hope, what it is. It is a living hope. It is a lasting hope. It is a logical hope. And so, since you're looming hope, this hope, you know now what it is. Having known what it is, how does it relate to you? What's the point of knowing this hope? What does that mean to us, to me? What does it mean? It's just objective, mythical, theoretical, or it has a practical challenge to my life, that my life must change with this hope. So we go on to the second part, today's study. In the application of this hope, how it relates to me, the Christian hope, how we live in the light of it. Sorry. Now I touch a wrong button and then this. All right. So today's challenge is, how do we live according to this light? Let's begin. 2 Peter, we have the challenge to this hope and how it relates to us. The word hope is not found there, but there are passages which relate to this hope. So that if we have this hope, then the challenge is, what kind of life are we going to have? What kind of life are we going to live? All right? The process of our hope. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. We have no time to look at the whole passage. We select one or two verses from that passage and we try to find out any lessons we can learn from it. Hope is rooted in God's great promise, precious promises. We must be very sure of this hope. This hope must be alive in us. Why? Because it is based on God and His promises, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Through them, believers anticipate partaking of the divine nature, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Our assurance from this hope, we look at Hebrews. It is based upon God's person and promises, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that's why we have this hope. Two immutable things. What are those two immutable things? Two unchangeable things. One, the person of God. God says so. This hope is based upon God, and we get the assurance from God Himself, and because God says so, He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Will that be enough for us? No. We are human. We cannot be assured by this spiritual, and some people may say theoretical, reason for our hope. No. We want, Lord, give us proof. God says, okay, for your sake, I'm prepared to give proof. You people, every time you meet your friend, you ask your friend, when I was young, prove to me that what you say is true. Swear, swear, swear. God says, all right, I'll swear. I'll take an oath. Hebrews chapter 6, I'll take an oath. By my person, first immutable thing. By my promise, second immutable thing. And what I say is yea and amen. I tell you this, that your love is a, your hope is a living hope, anchored in the, my very presence. Anchored in my very presence. Sorry, yes. All right, never mind. This hope is anchored in the very presence, in the ancient century. This is the hope that we have. Sure and steadfast. Two, our hope requires responsible growth. If we now are assured of our hope, that our hope is living, that it changes our lives, then what are we expected with regard to this hope that we have? Faith must be supplemented. Now, God, is it true that the hope that you have promised is true? God says, believe in me, believe my word, believe what I say, believe my promises. Okay, we believe. If we believe, then this is by way of faith. Yes, by faith we believe. If we do that, then that faith, to that faith, the basic faith of believing in God from what He says concerning our Christian hope, then it must be visible, it must be seen in our lives, living virtuous lives, in our knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. That faith must be evidenced by a change of life. If these characteristics are not seen in our lives, then something is wrong. Hope is not passive. It pursues progress. Add to your faith. How many Christians have been Christians for many years and that they remain the same in status quo? Your hope must be seen to change with years that you become more and more mature. You start with 2 Peter 2:2, as sincere born again, with the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. In other words, we all need to feed upon the word of God. And as we feed upon the word of God, as we know the word of God, that we know about more about the living faith, and our life changes. And that's what it is all about. Hope is not passive. Hope results in rich entrance. This hope entails a hope in the return of Christ, that one day Christ will return for us. And if so, what does it imply that he will return? 2 Peter 1:10-11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That if we leave this earth, then that we should have a great entrance into the realms beyond, into the very presence of God. Lord, remember me when thou goest into thy kingdom, said the thief on the cross. And Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's the entrance. Today I have sinned against my father, against my family, and I am what I am. I must go now to my father and confess. Son, welcome to the family. Bring him the best clothes. Give him a ring. Welcome him back, says the father to the prodigal son. This is the grand entrance that awaits us who know what it is to believe in the hope that we have. Right. The progress of our hope. As I said, our hope is not dead. Our hope is living. You know, 2 months ago, I was at the Agape Hall, eating lunch with many of all of you. Sitting beside me, in front of me, was a sister. She's somewhere here now. We were talking. Then suddenly, for no reason or other, she blurted out this question to me. Mr. Ang, are you afraid to die? I don't understand why suddenly you ask me this question. I was stunned for a moment. We're talking about other things and so on. Suddenly came this question. Mr. Ang, are you afraid to die? Why? What is it in me that stirs her to ask me this question? I don't know. I said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I stopped there. I'll give the answer later. I'll give the answer today. Mr. Ang, are you afraid to die? Job, are you afraid to die? Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Are you afraid to die, Job? You are, God has stricken you with so much suffering. Are you afraid to die? Die. After that, I shall meet my Redeemer who standeth at that latter day. David, are you afraid to die? Die. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Death is but a shadow. Paul, are you afraid to die? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Are you afraid to die? Can you answer these kind of questions? Today, my question is, I return this question that was asked me to all of you here. So and so, are you afraid to die? Some people don't like me because I ask such a question. Don't talk about this question. This is just no good. I'm still very young. Why you bring this question? This morning, I received a word from my daughter. That your ex-colleague, the headmistress of Sekolah Menengah Hamid Khan, my ex-colleague, I was a principal there. She was a principal there. The daughter was feeding her some water. And as the daughter did so, the nurse asked, I'm not sure, dear, but I think there's no breath in her life anymore. She just passed away. Last month, a sister, loving sister in our midst, was helped to sleep on the bed, and as in the process of doing so, the Lord called her home. A dear friend of mine and my wife, a sister, her son-in-law went to Singapore to see his daughter. He passed away. And all these people just suddenly passed away. You cannot be sure. You are sitting here in front of me. I'm standing here in front of you. Mr. Ang, are you afraid to die? I return this question. So and so, are you afraid to die? Today, we may see each other. Tomorrow, we may not. This is all in the Lord's hands. And that's why hope is very important. If we have hope this day, then we know that when we leave this earth, we shall meet our Lord. But when we don't, then it's going to be trouble. Now, to have an assured hope, there must be diligence in trying to know all about this hope. We cannot just day casually, oh yes, one day I will die, I will go to see, it will be heaven, I will meet my Lord Jesus Christ and so on. You must know what it is and how this hope affects you in your life. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Must keep diligence. Find out about the hope. You know, it's so important. You are trying in every way to do research, to find your next education school, to find your next job, and to find your next wife, and so on. You do a lot of research, but we don't care. We don't care about what and where we are going. How many of you really do a true research of the Word of God, where your hope is? Do you read the Word of God in the very first place? Or do you just listen to preachers on the pulpit who give you a lot of theories, but don't go into this, or like the Bereans, search the scriptures that these things were so, and they were noble because they did so. So the challenge is, are you going to lay such an important project in front of you about your hope to just empty air, to just a doubtful concept of what it is? Or are you going to research and be very sure, give all diligence to ensure your election and calling to be sure? Hope culminates in a triumphant entrance into Christ's eternal kingdom. Hope would end and be consummated when it ends and you enter into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you absolutely unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right. Now the protection of our hope. 2 Peter 2:1-22. Hope discerns deception. Today we are very confused. There are many people who come up with all sorts of doctrines, all sorts of theories concerning what is to come. And many of them are found in our own church itself. And they don't believe what we believe. They believe that when we are saved, we can be lost again, and so on. More about that as we go on. So we have to give diligence to research and see what this hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Firstly, hope discerns deception. The hope that you have, if you really know what hope is, then you'll be able to discern false teaching and false theories so that you can put them away and then you will not believe them. False teachers that threaten stability. Because of these false teachers, your faith can be shaken. So you must know your faith. These were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. Haven't you read recently in the internet of many evangelists who have gone away from the faith after having preached about the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, and then in the end, they themselves commit sins against the faith and they have left the faith. Now, we have got to beware of false teachers. Don't listen to me so much. Read the word and see what I say is true or not. The word of the Lord is most important in your life. Read it. Read it. And bring upon themselves swift damnation, destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. God will destroy them later, but we shall leave it to the Lord and his timing. By reason of whom the way of faith shall evil be spoken of. All right. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Covetousness. How many Christian groups today have been affected by covetousness? The greed for money, where leaders have piled up to themselves riches a lot, and they travel in high-class transport and so on, and many other things. Is this the way Christian life is all about? Is this the way where you accumulate more and more wealth, more and more riches to pile up on earth? Do you believe that when we leave this earth, we shall be ushered into the entrance of the kingdom with grand array, or we want to bring them along? We cannot. So this is a question we need to ask. Do you have this living hope that is after your life on earth, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not? Is that seen that God is not judging them? They are enjoying lives with a great, tremendous prosperity and so on. And so they teach that you believe in God and you will be prosperous, you'll be very happy. And yet, as I said, 10 of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ died a martyr's death, except for Judas Iscariot, who committed suicide, and John, who went to exile in the island of Patmos and who wrote Revelation. All the others died. Is it worth it? Yes, it's not worth it. To be boiled, to be Peter, to be crucified upside down because he did not want to be like Jesus Christ, to be crucified horizontally, but he asked to be crucified the other way around in order to accept, to give Christ the authority and the exaltation that he deserved. And so, why did these people die? If they had no hope, why should they go through all this? But they had a hope beyond the life sufferings to this life that is grand, awaiting them. Hope discerns deception. False teachers threaten stability. True hope stands on revealed truth. But true hope stands on truth. And we read chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, of the calling of our faith. The basis of our hope begins with God's divine power, which grants everything necessary for life and godliness. We must trust God. Today, we are not sure when we are going to leave this earth, but we must trust God that when he calls us, he will keep his promise that we will be with him forevermore. The character of our hope, it is anchored in exceeding great and precious promises that allow us to partake in the divine nature. As I said, two immutable things, the person of God and the promise of God. These are the two foundations that we can stand on concerning our hope. Our hope is based upon God who cannot lie, upon God who makes the promises, and every promise is yea and amen. The contrast with the world, unlike earthly falling, fading hopes, that divine hope offers an escape from the systematic corruption in the world. All right, I did not have to develop that. Hope depends on divine deliverance. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly. And note now how in the future he would rescue the godly people. 2 Peter 2:9. God distinguishes and delivers his own. God knows those who are his and those who are not. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, there will come a day when people will come to me and they will say, Lord, I have cast out demons in your name. Lord, I have done things in your name. And the Lord will say, Matthew chapter 7, I know you not. I know you not. You have done all these things in my name. I know you not because you are not part of me. Depart from me. We have to be careful of such teaching. We have to be careful of such teachers. That's why we need to give diligence to study the word. God knows who are his. Hope rests on his righteous judgment. We read in 2 Peter 2, 20-22, for if after they have escaped from the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known to turn from the holy commitment delivered unto them. A very tragic word, very tragic. Those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, after that, live the so-called Christian life, then go away, renounce completely their association with the living Christ. Their end, the Lord says, worse than the beginning. It's better that they never known the Lord at the very beginning, rather than know him, profess to follow him, and at the end of it all, give up, go back to their old ways. Why? They are but it happened unto them according to the true proverb. What? They are what? They are like the dog who is turned into his own vomit again. These people, they profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are even baptized to confess that they have believed in the Lord. But in their hearts, no. It's all in the mouth. And so they follow their friends. Their friends are baptized. They also follow and get baptized. But in their own heart, they never believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. To them, it's and then it's no surprise, after being adopted into the church, they've lived a life of a so-called Christian in the church. Then later on, they give up everything. What is happening to them? Are they really saved? The Lord says, no, they are not. It's better for them to be not saved than just to profess with their mouth and not believe in their heart truly that Jesus is their Savior. Better not that they do so. Because if they are like the dog going out, eating the food, put into the mouth, and then vomit it out. It doesn't go into the stomach. It doesn't go into the digestive system. Out because it never affects their life, and then throw it out. They will be like people who, like the dog, will go to the vomit again. So eat it up. Eat the vomit that they had thrown out. This is what it means. Be careful that you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and not just by mouth. Or be like a sow who, having been cleansed outside, and then later on go back to its defilement and dirt. So the Lord acknowledges that there are those who may have professed in faith, but one day will lose all that they profess, and then they will be like dogs returning to the vomit. They will be like sow, having been cleansed, going back to the mud to dirty themselves. Let us examine ourselves, that none is like that, because it is not worth playing with our eternal destiny. Returning to corruption contradicts genuine hope, because they never have genuine hope. They have a professing hope, but not genuine, and therefore they go back. The hope, true hope, perseveres purity. If you are truly a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have this hope, you will be pure. The prospect of our hope. 2 Peter 3:13. Hope anticipates his appearing. The next aspect of our Christian hope is we hope that Jesus Christ will return. He will return for us. We will not be here all the time. The time will come when he shall take us back to be with him. What does Peter have to say? Scoffers doubt that the day of the Lord. Oh, we are now introduced to the day of the Lord. Just now we were referred to the day of the Lord in Zechariah, and also in Zephaniah, and also in many books in the Old Testament. The day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord that will come? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Where is the coming of the Lord? Nonsense. The Lord, Peter referred to the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? Now let us be careful in the Bible. We have got to distinguish the various days of the Lord. There are divine days. One, the day of the Lord is a day of judgment. It is a long period. It has not come yet. It was in type, in picture. It came as in the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar to Israel. But the reality of the fulfillment of this day of the Lord will come when the church, you and I, are raptured into heaven, and then the great tribulation will start that day of the Lord and will last over 1,000 years of the King of Christ's kingdom reign on earth, when Satan will be bound 1,000 years in the pit. All right, that will be the day of the Lord. Be careful to distinguish between the day of Christ and the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Christ in 1 Corinthians 5:5, where a man had sinned by taking his father's wife, incest, and the church did not do anything about it. The church allowed him to stay in the church. Paul says, deliver such a person to Satan and for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul may live in the day of Christ. In other words, that person has blasphemed the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Throwing out, let him be exposed to Satan. Satan, you destroy him, his flesh, but cannot touch his soul. Because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his soul will be with Christ. And his soul will be disciplined by the Lord himself in the day of Christ. We must also be careful about the day of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, that you all be sincere and be able to approve the things that are excellent, that you may be able to stand in the day of Christ. What is meant by approve the things that are excellent? The word excellent is not distinguish between good and bad, but between that which is good and better. But that which is better and best, it is a distinction of that and not between good and bad. Any Christian who would sacrifice, give up things for the better instead of taking the good, for the best instead of taking for the better, and give up all for Christ, they will be rewarded in the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. So these days are still future. When we are raised to be with Christ and Christ takes us back to heaven, then we shall be disciplined or be rewarded by Christ himself. What a great day. We lived another day for later reference. And so we must distinguish between the day of, the first one is the day of Christ when all church will be raptured up to be with Christ. And they will be disciplined or be rewarded. And then after that, the saints will come together after a millennium of peace upon earth. Then the church will come together with Christ, and then there will be the rescue of the Jews together to be saved. All right, that's a living hope. Christ's sudden return is certain. We read in 2 Peter also, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven and earth shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the words. Please note, these words do not apply to the rapture of the church, to the return of the church, but to the return of Israel upon earth. That's why there will be the judgment to come. Hope accounts for apparent delay. Oh, look, all nonsense. The return of Christ, all nonsense. Jesus Christ spoke about his return 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years have passed. What? Where is his return? Nothing at all. God's timing and dates differ from human timing. But beloved, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years one day. 2,000 years have passed, it's 2 days only. 2 days only. We must not liken our reckoning of calendar days to earth. But here we have only God's reckoning of days. 1,000 days is just about one day. Delay displays divine. Why does God delay his coming? Because he wants people to be saved. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but a long-suffering to us all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. But some people take his love, his delay, to be something, to be abused, and they say that it's not true. But the Lord is delaying because many more souls have to be saved unto the Lord. Finally, come to the end. A new hope anticipates a new creation. We are waiting for that day when there will be a new creation. All things will turn new. We read, new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The climax of hope is cosmic renewal. This is the very climax of our Christian hope. That one day after Christ has come, after he has reigned upon this earth for 1,000 years, the whole heaven and the whole earth will be burned up. A new heaven and a new earth will come to be in. There will be cosmic change, and there will be renewal for that day when Christ comes. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? 2 Peter 3, 11 to 14, verse 10 especially. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein in heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is another day we must take care of. This is the day of God. It's different from the day of the Lord. It's different from the day of the Lord Jesus. It's never different from the day of Jesus Christ. It is the day of God, when all things will be burned up and a new heaven and a new earth will come into being. Note these special days. But, and of course, you must not miss up with the day of the Lord, which is Sunday like today. All right. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Do we have this new hope with us? Are we waiting? My time is very near. You may think your time is very short and very long because you're so young. But remember, as I said, when the time for us to leave and when God calls, he doesn't care about your logical age, chronological age. When it's time to go, you go. Are you ready? Are you ready? Or can you say, I know my Redeemer liveth. Believe on while waiting, let us live diligently and be at peace with every life. Whereupon, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. Right. With that, I finish. Now, let me just say this in brief words. Summary statement. First and second Peter, we have the Christian hope. It is living, established in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Know it well. Don't be disturbed by people who question you. Know this and believe in it. Trust it. Do not have any doubts. Last thing, because it is secured in God's person and God's promises. God has said it. That's enough. God has promised it. Everything is yea and amen. It's lifting. When you are in trouble, under persecution, look up. This will sustain you, as the disciples of old did so. It should change your life, lead you to a sanctified holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Looming, we look at the conditions of the world today. Christ is coming very soon. Very, very soon. Know your hope while it is there. It's time to do so. Peter presents hope, not as an opaque optimism, but as a resurrection-rooted, promise-anchored, holiness-producing, suffering-sustaining, and glory-anticipating certainty. It is true, and it will come to pass. This is our Christian hope. I hope when you leave this place, you can be sure, stand sure and steadfast in the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. So, Christian hope is the believer's unshakable confidence that Christ has saved them. Christ is sustaining them. Christ is coming again the second time. It is anchored in the past. It is active in the present. And it is aimed at the future. Do you know your Christian hope? I hope you have after this. So, I end. The Christian hope. I have no more voice. Otherwise, I would like you to sing. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promise of God. Mr. Ang, are you afraid to die? You can answer now on my behalf. You have no time to take out notes, but if you're interested, you can photograph this, and look at the URL and go on internet to find my website, and all this will be reproduced for your keeping. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. Thy word is ever so certain, and it can bind us to live the kind of life that you would have us to live. Teach us, Lord, help us that we may be true to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to his return, that we may look forward today. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come as you also ordain when it is going to be. In the meanwhile, keep us clear and sustained and true to thee while we wait for thee. We give thee thanks for the food before us. Thank you, Lord, in Christ's precious name. Amen.